So the first time I heard the UK talk, like we hadn't compared anything, was just like 10 minutes ago or something. And I was shocked by how much they're alike. So just so y'all know, like, we didn't compare these notes. Like, we wrote them separately, and this is the first time we've heard that each other speak was today. So the paper that I put out, and I don't care if you write on it, if you don't write on it, this is totally for you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But my speech is on seeing yourself through God's eyes. And you were created for a purpose, and finding that purpose and seeing your ability and your purpose through God's eyes. So the first thing that I have on that paper was three things that you would, not necessarily what you would say to someone else, but this is when you look in the mirror when you're all alone, the first three things that you would use to describe yourself. You can write it. You don't have to write it. Whatever you would like to do. And these are just what instantly comes to your mind when you think about yourself. And so many times we see ourselves through different lenses. It's almost like putting on sunglasses. And you see yourself through the lens of how your parents treat you. And that might be wonderful. You might be a rock star at home and like the superstar. Or you might not have been torn down and you might not be. You know, but that affects the way that you see yourself. You might see yourself through your friends, your friend group. What do they say? How do they act? What have they said about you? How do you feel about them? Those things affect the way that you see yourself. But I would say probably one of the biggest things that affects the way that you see yourself is social media. And whether you're on social media or not, just any access you have to the media around you, it affects the way you feel like you should look, you should dress, you should act, you should talk, you should be. And it really does affect the way that you see yourself. If, you know, it looks like this on social media and this is what I'm supposed to look like to be cool and to be the one, you know, then there's always that part of us that wants that. We want to be cool. We want to be cute. We want to be, you know, the one. But it, and so it really does affect. And it's almost like you're just putting on sunglasses. And when you put those on, you don't see clearly. You're not able to see clearly. And so it really does alter the vision of yourself. And social media has a huge effect on teens. And I have a little example here. So there's this dude. And some of y'all may have already seen this, but, you know, this is kind of a thing on social media. So this guy looks like he's on an airplane, right? If you just glance to this, you would think, cool. He's probably going to some exotic island. I want to go. He's on a plane. I wish I was on that plane. You know, and you think, like, so if this was some guy you knew, it's like, he's always going somewhere. He's traveling here, traveling there, and I'm just sitting at home being a loser, and I want to go, and I want to be a part, and I want to go see the world, and I want to be up in the plane looking down at the clouds and going somewhere exciting. And then you take a step back and you see he's sitting at home with a toilet lid and a computer screen. He has gone nowhere. He is doing nothing cool. In fact, I would venture to say, like, I don't know that he's cool at all. I mean, he's holding a toilet lid taking pictures. And so what you see on social media, people can dress it up to make it look however they want it to look. You know people that you've seen their pictures on social media and you think, oh, they have it all together. But you know them. And you know that is not true. You know life is falling apart. They are a hot mess. But they're looking cute on whatever they're, you know, TikTok, Instagram, whatever they're on. They're sitting there looking cute. And if you didn't know them and you just saw them, you would think, oh, they're so cool. I wish I could be like that. But you don't know the whole story. And so you can compare yourself to people that you see on there and think, I wish that was me. I wish I could be like that. I wish. But you also see sometimes people and you think, at least I'm not like that. At least I got it better than that. I mean, look at that. Look at that disaster. And I have a story about that. A little girl, when I was teaching at a public school, I had a little girl that came in. And I taught kindergarten, so she was 5 or 6. And she came in one day and she was awful, awful. And she just had a really terrible day. But by the time I got all the kids lined up for PE to go to the gym, That child had flipped over desks, flipped over tables, and had a chair ready to throw it. And I was like, we got to get out of this classroom. So I hit my intercom, and I called for anybody that could come help. Principal, assistant principal, counselor, they all came. And I was like, I need help. Because you're really not supposed to put your hands on these children, but, like, she's about to hurt somebody, you know, or herself. And she's just a child. She's just a baby, you know. So I come back up the hallway after dropping my kids off, and our principal, she was so prim and proper, hair just done, you know, everything just looking good. She came out of my class, y'all, and her hair was sticking up here. She had claw marks down the side of her face. Her shirt and her slip were all hanging out the side of her pants. She was a disaster. And I was like, what just happened? So, of course, you know, after she walks down the hallway very upset, I asked the counselor, like, what happened? She said she came in here and tried to put her hands on this child, like, to, you know, to, like, guide her out of the classroom. And the little girl attacked her, like, attacked her. And I think she won. And so I was just like, ooh, okay. So she took her to her office, the counselor did, just trying to calm her down and talk to her and find her parents. Like, come get your child. What's wrong with your child, you know? Well, she couldn't find any of the parents. Finally found grandma. And grandma said, oh, you're not going to be able to get in touch with her parents. They are both in jail. That morning, they had had a huge fight and had beat each other up. And the cops came and took them both away. So this little girl, 5 or 6 years old, that morning had been absolutely traumatized. She had seen her parents, first of all, going at each other, hitting and physical violence. Then the cops came and took them both away to she doesn't know where. She doesn't know when they're coming back. They're just gone. And I'm sure it wasn't like the cops came and said, I need you to step in the car. And they said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I mean, I'm sure that was a scene in and of itself. So this little girl, who you would look at and think, what a brat. What a terrible child. She was really just so traumatized and terrified. And her world had just been turned upside down. And I'm sure that was not the first time anything like that had happened. So that little girl had come out of just, you know, terror that morning. So she wasn't, I mean, there were some times I'm sure she was just naughty, but that day she was not just being a brat. She was absolutely terrified and traumatized. So you look at somebody like that and you think, really? I mean, that's the best you could do. Like, at least I have it together better than that. And you want to compare yourself. Either compare yourself and make yourself like, I wish it was that, or at least I'm better than that. But when you compare yourself to others, the Bible actually says, don't compare yourself to others. Because when you compare yourself to others, you're not always seeing the whole picture. You really don't truly know what you're comparing yourself to. And you might walk away feeling, you know, good about yourself when you have no idea. And so you have to be careful. You really only should compare yourself to what God says and what the Bible says you should be. Well, several years ago, God started dealing with me about seeing myself through His eyes, like He saw me. And I had gone down to the altar to pray with a girl, and she had messed up, and she was, you know, feeling really defeated, really sad, and had made some mistakes like we all do. And she, you know, and I was praying for her, and God spoke to me so clearly and said, tell her to pray that she can see herself through my eyes. And you know that feeling when God tells you to do something, it's like, are you sure this is God? So I like lean over and whisper, God said pray so you can see yourself like He does. Like, oh, please let that have been God. And she just starts bawling and sobbing. So I'm like, okay, that must have been God, you know. So I'm feeling better about it. And, you know, so she's praying, and I'm like, okay. So then after I finished, I walked away, and I thought, do I see myself like that? Like, I don't, and it made me really start thinking about things. Like, how do I see myself? And so many times, you know, we compare ourselves, like I was talking about, among each other, and, you know, feel like we have it. But, you know, it's easy to come to church or take your picture and look like everything's perfect. I have it all together, because you just have to put on a show for 2 hours on a Sunday morning, and then you can go back to doing whatever you're doing. So it's easy to look like you have it all together in that 2 hours, but it's not always true what you see. So in the Bible, there's a story about a man, and if you'd have caught him on TikTok or somewhere like that during his good days, you know, what he thought were his good days, you know, he had tons of money. He's got all these friends. Now, he can't travel in an airplane, but he's probably got a camel. He's riding that camel from place to place, party to party, and living it up. And you see him on Instagram, and he's got all these likes. He's got all these friends. He's got all these people. He's so popular. And you think, oh, I wish I could be like that. But because we know the whole story, We describe him as lazy and selfish and rude and rebellious and all these other things. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? Come on. Somebody knows who I'm talking about. Anybody?
Ashley or Dina? Do y'all know?
Golly, one of my 12-year-olds knew who I was talking about.
Lily knew.
And the prodigal son. So here he was. He's like, you know, when we tell the story, we're like, can you believe this guy? I mean, what a loser. I mean, he did all these terrible things and all these horrible things. But, you know, if you'd have seen him when he was doing all the stuff on social media, well, he's pretty awesome. He's got all the stuff. Well, then all of a sudden he disappears because he runs out of money, right? So, but I want to read to you what the Bible says about him. When he came to his senses, so this is, he's already gone and he's in the pig pen. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, so make me like one of your servants. And he got up and went to his father. So how does he see himself at this moment? Like a servant, right? He sees himself as a servant. And he's just like, I know I've done wrong. I know I've been terrible. And here I am in the pig pen. And do you notice how he talks to himself in the pig pen? Now, I know sometimes y'all talk to yourself. I mean, I talk to myself. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself. Sometimes you need to give yourself a reality check. Like, girl, get up and get going and do what you need to do. And sometimes you need to give yourself like a confidence booster. Like, I can do this, you know? And so he's sitting there talking to himself like, I mean, I know I'm here. I know I've messed up. But maybe I can just go back and be a slave. I can just go back and be a servant. What does God say about him, though? Do y'all remember that from the story? What God says when he sees him and he calls him what? It's a 3-letter word and it starts with an S. Son! Yes. He says, son! And it's the only time in the Bible that we hear that God runs. I mean, he's like running to him. So does this sound like somebody who's like, what a loser. I cannot believe he did this. And just, he's had enough of him. He doesn't want to see his face. It sounds like somebody who's like, he's just been sitting there waiting all day just to see if he might come home, you know? He loves him, and he calls him son. And the guy is, he has failed, and he has done bad, and God is not pleased with us when we do that. But does he still love us? Yes. Does he still see all the potential that is within us? Absolutely. So he sees him son. He calls him son, and he runs to him, and he hugs him, and he won't hear of him being a servant in his house. Like, absolutely not. You are my son. You are here as a son. You will not be a servant. And so God takes him back in and restores him to what he is supposed to be, what his potential and his purpose is. He is not to be a slave. He is to be a son. And there's the scripture, Ephesians 2:10, that says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared us in advance to do. So that means God has created you for a purpose, but not only did he create you for that, he prepared you for it. You might not always feel prepared, and you might not always think you're prepared, but he has prepared you for that purpose. And here's a personal story. So y'all know, like, I sing, but for years and years and years, I sang tenor, which is the boys' part. I sang very low, and I sang that for a long time and loved it, was very comfortable. It never pushed me outside of my comfort zone. It was just easy. So I started feeling like God was pushing me to do something, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. But I just knew that it made me feel uncomfortable and a little bit scared. So one day I come up to praise practice, and Ashley and Lindsay and Jessica inform me that it is time for me to start leading, to be a worship leader. And I said, Not me. I sing tenor. I sing really, really low. Like, it's not happening. I can't do it. So, you know, they didn't really leave me a choice. I'm like, no, you're going to start pretty much immediately. And I knew at that moment this was what God had been preparing me to do. But it really didn't make me feel any better. I still was terrified. And so I started, you know, I was seeing what I thought I could do. I was not seeing myself through God's eyes, what he knew I could do. So I started bargaining with God. So I said, well, God, if you'll give me a voice like my sister's, I'll do it. If you'll give me a voice like Jessica's, like Sister Bonnie's, like any of these other people, anybody who sings higher than a tenor, I'll do it. I'll step out there and I'll try to do it. you know, God, if you'll help me not turn blotchy, because we have this, we call it the Sutton blotch, and we turn blotchy. If you'll help me not turn blotchy, then I'll do it. If you'll help me not to crack, or as I call it, barking at the people. If you'll help me not, you know, I'll do it. I'll say, if you won't let me be embarrassed, I'll do it. And I would sing that song, for your glory, I will do anything except the things that make me scared, make me embarrassed, might make me look stupid, or I might mess up at. All those other things that I'm really good at, I'll do those. I'll sing tenor. I got that. But all these other things, no thank you. And so, you know, here I was telling God that for his glory, I would do anything except the things that might cost me too much and might scare me. And I was telling my creator that what he had created for this purpose, well, I know he's perfect in all of his ways, and I know that he does a really good job at everything he does, but not when he did this. I think he made a mistake. I think he messed up. And I know that you have said that I can do this and that you were pushing me to do this, but I think you're wrong about this. I don't think I can. I don't think I have that ability. But God saw that ability in me. But I still decided to tell God, who had come out of heaven, came down, robed himself in flesh. He was beaten. He was bruised. Went to Calvary just for me because he thought I was worth it. Here I was telling him that I'm really not worth it. I'm really not. I mean, there's no way I can do this. Have you heard me sing, God? I sing low. We're going to have to lower all the songs that we sing, like five keys, for me to be able to sing these songs. I cannot do this, you know? But, you know, he just kept pushing me and pushing me to do that. And he knew that he had already created me for this purpose and equipped me and given me the ability to do this. I just couldn't see it. I had no idea it was in there. And I know it's like, how do you know that you couldn't sing? I don't know how I didn't know. I just didn't know. I did not know. I had never pushed myself outside of my comfort level, and I had no idea. Now, it doesn't mean that just when God calls you to do something, he's just going to call you to sing. Some people don't sing, and God will never call you to sing. But you might have another passion or another ability or another talent that God is going to call you to use. And it may make you probably, I can almost say 100% is going to make you uncomfortable. When God starts calling you and pushing you to do something, it's usually going to be scary and uncomfortable. But he sees that. Now, once I started singing, okay, I've done that. I'm good. Well, now they want me to exhort in between songs. Well, I was fine just singing. I don't want to preach. I can't exhort. Now I got to get up here and in the middle. So that's something new that we're doing. And I am terrified. And then Sunday morning, y'all couldn't see it because I had on a robe. We wear those robes, thank God. But we were singing, I'm going to dance for you like nobody's watching. When we get to that part where nothing's going to hinder me, you know, the really high part. Y'all, my knees. I had to start walking because I thought, if I don't start walking, I'm going to fall over. My knees, my hand, my knees, I was shaking so bad. And the reason why is because that part is way out of my comfort level. I mean, I think I pulled a muscle down here in my lower abdomen when I sang that. Y'all, it hurt. Like, my stomach hurt after I finished singing that. But I did it. Now, I messed up. I did. I gasped for air right in the middle of it because I was so nervous I couldn't even breathe. So I gasped for air in the middle of it, but I did it. And I know the next time I do it, I'll probably do it a little bit better. I won't be quite as nervous because I did it once already. But it doesn't mean that just because you start doing what God's called you to do, that now it's just like easy peasy and you're good and you're not going to be scared anymore. You're still going to be terrified. You're still going to be scared. But it does get easier. And I used to be sick as a dog every Sunday when I would have to sing. I didn't know if I was going to throw up or what was going to happen, but I knew it was going to be bad. Mm-hmm. And I was just sick. I don't feel that anymore. I'm not terrified to sing. Most of the time, I have to sing today, and I am a little nervous about that. But most of the time, I'm not scared anymore until we do something new or something that pushes me a little further than what I'm comfortable at. So it does get better, but it doesn't go away. But God has given you a purpose, and he's given you a calling, and he's put that potential in you, whether you can see it or whether you cannot. You have to trust that what God is calling you to do, He has equipped you to do that. Will you fail trying to go out and do something that God has called you to do? Most likely. Will you embarrass yourself at some point? Probably. Will you mess up? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and not all ministries, like she was saying, not all ministries are out in front of everybody. So it might not be that you fail, you know, somewhere out in the front of 100 people. But if you fail even something small and it disappoints you and you're disappointed within yourself, it's still just like, I mean, really, you couldn't even do that. You know, there's so many times, but like, how many times does a baby fall while learning to walk? Tons and tons and tons. But if the baby doesn't get back up and keep trying, they'll never learn to walk. If they just sit down and say, forget that, it's too hard, then they never will. So that you have to keep getting up and you have to keep trying. And I've learned a lot through this journey to be able to trust God when I feel inadequate. And, you know, to be thankful, so thankful for His grace and mercy that He sees me through. The one question that I would always like to know, and maybe God will tell me when in heaven, but I started the journey of singing and really pushing myself to sing in my 30s. What if I would have started that at 14, 15, 16? I mean, I don't know. I might still be the same exact singer that I am, still mess up, you know, still do things. But where, what, maybe I would just be exhorting like nobody's business and I would just, you know, I might even be preaching sermons or something. I mean, you know, I don't know where I would be. You know, what if I would have started at that age? And I know God has His timing and God has, you know, He has the time that you're supposed to come into your ministry and all of that. And His timing is perfect. But I know for sure there were times when I was younger that God would push me to do something and I was like, no, absolutely not. I am going to sit right here and I am going to worship on my second row and I might run a lap every once in a while, but no, I am not getting out in front of people. And you don't, you know, like she was saying, in all ministries, you don't have to get out in front of people. But at some point, if you're pushing yourself and you're trying to fulfill God's potential in your life, you most likely will get embarrassed at some point. You most likely will goof up at some point and make a mistake, but you have to keep pushing. And the biggest thing is you keep praying that you can see yourself like God sees you, and you can see clearly what your potential is and what your purpose is for your life. And I think that's the end. Yes, it is the end of my speech. And we started early. You were finished at 11:37.
I clapped for her, by the way.
Thank you. I noticed everybody was out there talking, and like you were finished at 11:37, and I think this class was actually supposed to start at 11:35, but they came in here so early. They must have got out early or something. So I don't know what time this ends. But you can take that paper with you. You can fill it out, or you don't have to. It's just something to, we're only 5 minutes early.
Oh, okay.
It's just something to have you kind of thinking on what you feel like God has called you to do. And some of you might already know. Some of you might not have a clue. And that's okay.
Yes.
If you pray, He will tell you. It might scare you.
You don't have time to eat your cookie.
Yeah, you got 5 minutes before we're supposed to go. Well, I don't
know
what time it starts in the sanctuary. They just said this ends at 12:10 and it's 12:05. Do y'all know what time it starts? Like, we're supposed to...
This ends at 12:10. And then, well, you'll have 10 minutes to get there.
Well, it's at 12:20. We're both scared. Just so y'all know, we're about to go get on the platform. It's scary when it's like a smaller group.
Yeah,
can y'all get out in the aisle and run the aisle no matter what we think? Because when it's so